Spring into reading this season with the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Spring Reading Guide. In this season's guide, I've handpicked 21 of the best new books and I've organized them across 6 categories. So whether you're looking for a romance novel that will give you a happily ever after, a thrilling mystery to keep you guessing, or an immersive historical fiction book, this guide has a book or 3 or 7 just for you. Now, if 21 books sounds like too much for you, there's a minimalist reads list in the guide, which includes a list of 6 must-read books from across genres. But wait, that's not all. The Spring Reading Guide also includes fun recipes, spring activities, and lifestyle tips. So head on over to springreadingguide.com and download your copy of the guide. That's springreadingguide.com and download your free copy of the 2024 Spring Reading Guide. So download your free copy and discover your next favorite book. Happy reading! Hello, I'm Victoria from Biblio Lifestyle, and you're listening to the Reader's Couch podcast, the show that will help you bridge the gap between living a full and busy life to one where you're reading, learning new things, and having fun. Today on the couch, I'm super excited to chat with Laura Yameen from the What to Read Next podcast and blog. Because today, we will be chatting about different ways readers can access and read more books at low to no cost. From talking about library resources, different library cards and platforms, to getting super discounted books from popular retailers like Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, plus resellers like Pango and eBay, to getting Kindle and audiobook bundles, plus lots more. Listeners, this episode is chock full of resources to help you get access to more books at low to no cost. But before we get into the episode, if you haven't already, pretty please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening, leave the podcast a 5-star rating, and write me a review if you love the show. Now, if you don't like the show, well, that's your choice. But if you do like the show, it's a great way to help spread the word about the podcast, and it's a free way you can show your support. So again, leave me those 5 stars. I'll be forever grateful for it. So thanks in advance. And now on to the episode with Laura Yameen. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the Reader's Couch podcast. It's so great to have you back.
So happy to be back. I am so excited to chat with you.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. So just in case I have some listeners who are not familiar with you, I want you to introduce yourself and tell me more about the What to Read Next podcast and blog and what can readers expect from you.
So I'm Laura Yameen. I am the podcaster behind What to Read Next, which is an author interview / book recommendation show where we talk about what books to read next. If you've read a popular book, you probably are likely to find an author interview where the author will tell you, here are the books that I love to read, or here are the ones that I'm like loving at this moment, and that you should read that after you finish that book. I also have a blog where I share low-cost opportunities of how to get books for free or low-cost to read.
Yes. And what I think I love most about your podcast is that the authors share the books that they're reading and loving. And I love to hear what authors are reading. And we just get great recommendations of, okay, this is what we read next. You have great books like recommendations on your blog. So if you've read a super popular book and you're wondering what to read next, I think Laura has a really great resource. I'm super excited to have her on because she's going to tell us more about how we can read more books at low to no cost. But I want to get into your reading life a little bit first. I mean, how has your reading life been for 2024? What has it been like so far? Did you have any reading goals? Where are you with your reading life?
So my reading life has been very different from previous years. So back in 2016 and 2018, I was reading like a book a day. I was like consuming them like nonstop. And so I can tell you 8 years later, my reading life is very different. I am consuming less. I am more picky. I'm starting a lot of books, but I'm not finishing a lot of books. I'm trying to find my way. It's a lot of mood reading. It's a lot of trying different genres to give myself a break. So having a lot of more palate cleansers, like cozy mysteries, thrillers. I was mainly a romance reader and I still love romance, but sometimes you just need a break from the HEA. And so it's been fun just to give things a try and to have little projects where I'm reading a backlist of an author or I'm trying a different genre and trying like a bunch of series starters to see what do I like, what I don't like, and trying to recommend those opportunities for my listeners.
I think it's also good to know that we go through different phases in our reading lives. So we have that moment where we're just incredibly voracious. We're just reading books back to back. Like you said, you were reading a book a day. So I think it's helpful that when we are in a different season in our reading life, it's okay to slow down. It's okay to try new things. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. And if you're trying new things, I think it helps to have access to books at low to no cost. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's really nice to have low stakes because I have access to libraries, to audiobooks, and different places. So I'm actually listening to more as well as reading, and it's giving me a low stake. Like I'm not feeling like, oh my gosh, I spent $15 or $20 or $30 in this book, and I must finish because there's a cost associated. Because I borrowed the book from the library or borrowed the book from Kindle Limited, it's actually a low stake idea. Like I can be like, you know what, this book is not for me right now. I can put it down and then come back to it a couple months from now when I'm ready to read it. And so I feel like there's more freedom to choose opportunities and to give yourself a try for something you're like, you know, I don't know if I like this. I did not know if I like cozy mysteries. And then I just start trying them out. But because I was trying them out from the library, it felt very free to do it.
I love hearing that because I don't like ascribing to the I started this book, I must finish it kind of vibe. So for me, I like low stakes reading. I like the fact that you can, you know, just try different things and just keep it pushing because let's face facts, we're not reading for work. We're not reading for school. We're reading for fun. We're reading for pleasure. So we need to kind of, I guess, let go of just all these rules and just everything around or pleasure reading, right?
Yeah. And I think it's an opportunity to give yourself a break. I think it's sometimes we're so attached to an identity of like, I must be a genre attached to it, or I must try something else. And then you realize it was like, it's not working for you. And that's what happened to me. Romance was not working for me and I needed something different. And so I needed the freedom to say, you know, can I try something different? Can I try something a little bit like a something out of left field and see if I like it, see if it's actually a good palate cleanser. And because it did not cost me money, or it cost me a low annual fee that I pay for it, I don't think about it, it's free, I can just give it a try. And if I hate it, I can just stop at any moment.
Yeah, I love that. So I think this episode is great for folks who want to try something new. If you have something working for you and you want to read more, but again, you're looking for low to no cost ways, I think you're going to get a lot of value from Laura. I turn to her for a lot of recommendations. She provides lots of ideas and lots of resources. So let's just get into a couple of them today. So let's talk about the library first. I have to say, I'm an avid library patron. I check out books from the library, but if I'm being completely honest, I use more audiobooks through my library. 95%, I would say, of my audiobook consumption comes from the library. Let's talk about the resource that is the library as a way to read low to no cost books.
So the first one is, if you're reading physical books, libraries are the perfect place to get those access to those physical books for free. There's an easy way. You can request the books. If their books haven't come out, you can request them in advance. A lot of libraries have put their inventory in advance. And you can be the first one in line on publication week, and your library book will be available. So it's a great way for physical books to read. If your library doesn't have it, most libraries have connections to, if you're part of a county, they have connection to other libraries in the county, and so they check the resources. So the best thing I can do, when I started using the libraries, was like, I was in the New York public library system, and so my local library would not have it, but I'll put on requests, and then I'll go once a week, go to my library and look for my hold. So basically, they'll put all your books ready to go. It's kind of like a package. You go to a shelf and your name is there, and there's like books for you to borrow. And this is free. A lot of libraries are removing the fines. So I know a lot of times it's like, oh my gosh, I have to pay fines if I missed it. Libraries they give automatically renewals. If nobody's requesting a library book, you have an automatic renewal. So you have more time to read it, or you can just like pay. But the fine system is slowly moving away, but even if it's a fine, the fine is like a quarter to a dollar. So it's not like a quarter a day. So it does add up, but it's not this like, it's going to come cheaper to get it from the library than buying the book. And you're supporting the author, because the author does get some royalties, and they actually like libraries support the community. So the physical books, it's a great opportunity to give this a try.
Yes, I love the library for physical books. I think they're great. But also, again, libraries have so many catalogs. You can get cookbooks, magazines. Again, most of my audiobook consumption comes from the library. So libraries are a great free way to get books. If you do incur fees, they're very low cost fees at the end of the day. So yes, the library is a great resource. Another resource we talk about is Pango Books. I'm not 100% familiar with Pango Books. I know it exists. I know what they do. But tell our listeners about Pango.
So Pango Books is a secondhand bookstore app that you can actually not only sell your books for, you can set the price, and it's really easy to sell books. You just take a picture, put it in ISBN, like, you know, get the barcode, and it'll set a price of the information. But you can also find books for a low cost. You find different influencers or different people, regular people, have their own little mini bookstores, and you can actually buy from the bookshop. It's a great way to get new releases, special editions, any type of book, any hidden gems. You're like, you know what? I really want a physical book of so-and-so this. Pango Books is a great resource. Some stores have like discounts. They might have like shipping free. They might have like a 10%. They might do sales. So not only you can sell your books, but you can also buy books. And it's a really easy, it's a really cool economy. It's a better version than Mercari. And it's similar to Poshmark for dresses. It's a similar idea, but for books. And it's an app, you can just download it and you can just start buying from there.
Oh, that's awesome. What about Half Price Books? Because would you say that's similar to Pango? How are they similar? How are they different? I've purchased from Half Price Books in the past. It's been a while. What do you know about that platform?
So Half Price Books is great if you live in a town where they have a Half Price Book, because basically that you can go buy, you can sell your books to Half Price, and then they sell used bookstores. You might also find a good place to find like thrifting. Goodwill is a good place to find books. Like I remember finding like the whole True Blood series for a dollar. Like, so going to Goodwills, going to thrift stores, you might find book collections that you'd be surprised. Like people just donate books and then they sell them. Libraries also may have a store, or they have library sales where they sell books for like half price or a dollar or even a quarter. So there's different places, but Half Price Books is great for in person. I find that it's a little bit more pricier if you buy online for Half Price Books, but there's Better World Books that also sells books. They're really cheap. Thrift Books is another one. And I think Ape Books, and there's different sites that provide collectibles, different types of niche that you're looking for. So if you want to build your physical collection, there's different places. Book Outlet is another opportunity where it's basically they sell overstock books, and you might be able to find them for like $2, $3, $5, and they do run sales for like you know, a percentage, you get off, or you might get free shipping if you buy a certain number. And, you know, we love a free shipping, even though we spend more money. So there's different opportunities for you to build your book collection for a low cost.
I was actually looking around on my very own shelves because I actually got a William Faulkner 3-box set, really nice vintage, vintage classics editions from the dollar store. Yeah. When I first moved to the States, I was very fascinated by the Dollar Tree. And I'd go there to get a couple things, balloons for, you know, birthday parties and stuff. So I would go to the dollar store for that. And I would notice they'd have a book section and you can get sometimes brand new books, hardcovers for a dollar plus the tax. I think now it's $1.25 plus tax. I'm in Florida, so that's like 6% sales tax. Point is, you can get nice new hardcover books for $1.50 at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can get great stuff there. Friends of the Library book sale if you're trying to build your physical collection. Also in the physical collection space, we have Barnes & Noble, we have Target, and we have Amazon. Let's talk about the specials that these retailers have.
Before we get there, I want to also talk about eBay. Because we don't talk about eBay enough. So if you're looking to build, I want to build my Silver Valley High collection. It's one of those book series from the 90s that I was like, I love this series, and my mom gave them away. And so what you can do is you can go to eBay and put the title. If you're looking for a lot of books, like multiple books, multiple editions, you can put the title and you can put lot, L-O-T, in the description, and you'll find people selling a lot of books. I'm basically selling a book box of books from like, there's romance books, you'll sell them for like a quarter. If you're like historical romance, they'll be $10, $100. And so if you're looking for hard to find books from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and you want to get like build your collection in a really relatively inexpensive fashion, I would say go to eBay. That's something that we don't talk enough, but I think it's like, it's a fun place to find your books.
That is true, especially when you're buying lots of books. I agree, like certain editions. I remember my husband was very into the Armed Services editions. Mm-hmm. These were like paperbacks that America distributed to soldiers during World War II. It's part of the reason why The Great Gatsby and lots of these classics were so big, because these were some of the books that were sent to them. And I remember reading online that there were like over 100 million of these books being published, and very few of them exist today. But if you go on eBay, so if there are any collections out there that you're looking for, go on eBay, search the lot, and you'll find some great stuff. Continuing on building physical book collections, we have retailers like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target. Tell us about the specials that these retailers offer and what should readers look forward to from them.
So there's different specials around now. So Barnes & Noble has a membership program. You have to pay for a certain membership. You get discounts. You get 10%, 15%, a membership discount. There's different tiers. So you want to check on those memberships to get a discount for the physical book. But Barnes & Noble, one of the things they do on every quarter, I've noticed, is that they do a pre-order special where you can pre-order as many books as you want, and they give a 25% discount. Barnes & Noble tends to price match the prices to Amazon, so they're relatively inexpensive because they're taking it as a loss. So it's a great way to not only support authors before they release their books, but you can also like get books and hopefully a couple of days after it was released, or like letting them know, like, I pre-ordered this book. So pre-order specials, you can pre-order as far in advance as a book is showing up in the catalog. So that's a great way too. And if you pre-order, you don't get charged until the book is shipped. So you can go wild and order 100 books and then just get paid. You'll just pay it on a weekly or whenever the books get shipped. So that's an order. Target got into book business, and they run every so often for popular new releases a 2-for-1 special, where they basically sell like, or buy one, get one free kind of deal, where you buy a certain amount of books and you get another book for free. If you want to get the saving in the shipping cost, you have to hit $35 and you get free shipping. Otherwise, it's $6.99 for the shipping. But you can just make an order similar. They may do pre-order stuff and just go wild. Amazon does the same thing. Every so often when Target runs their sale, Amazon will try price match it because they're competing with each other in the book business. So with Amazon, again, the free shipping, you may have Prime, and so you just get free shipping. But if you don't have Prime, you just have to, I think it's $35 the shipping minimum that you have to hit before you get free shipping.
So needless to say, there are so many different ways and outlets for folks to build their physical book collection if that's something they're interested in. So from websites to secondhand shops to paying attention to the sales that retailers have, like every so often, every so quarter, I think that's a great way to build a collection. Now, we have readers who don't care so much about building their physical collection unless it's a book they've read and they loved and they're like, yes, I want to have this, because they're really trying to keep their physical book collection small. They want to keep it very curated. So of course, here comes the world of ebooks. Let's talk about how readers can read more books.
So I am actually that kind of reader. I don't have a physical book collection. I have to let it go a couple of times, and I've moved quite a few times, and having a physical book collection, it's a pain to move. So I choose not to. So I'm a Kindle reader, mostly exclusive, and there's tons of ways to save money. The first one we got to talk about is libraries. And so I know we talk about libraries for physical books, but we also have to talk about libraries for ebooks and audiobooks. A good way, a lot of times ebook collections are more expensive for libraries to have, so they may have a limited amount of books there in the collection. So a couple of things you can do, you can look at your state or your city to see if there's actually bigger library systems that offer a library access for free just by being a resident in the library. So examples, if you live in New York City, you have access to Brooklyn, New York Public Library in Queens. If you're in Philadelphia, if you're in Pennsylvania, you get Philadelphia and I think Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. So look for your state to see if their bigger library systems offer a free access for you. If you do not and you live in a rural place, you can check on local libraries nearby to see if they offer a non-resident fee where you pay $10, $20, $100. And it really comes down to, I know a lot of times $100 feels like a lot, but if you use it every day, if you use it multiple times, you're going to make the money back. And they have so many other services other than just library books. And then there's other non-resident library cards for, you know, that you can other states that you can actually purchase and you can have access to the library system. Some libraries are well known for their ebook collections. Other libraries are well known for their audiobook collections. They may have other services like Hoopla, which is a digital instant borrow, because I know Libby, you have to wait for the library, but Hoopla, you can just borrow instantly. Hoopla also offers movies and music and books. And so, libraries also offer you other services like Coursera, Logipod, Crafty. If you're a craft person, they have like, you know, a whole access of system. They may have access to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Times Games, and all those different things are paid subscriptions. You can get those for free from the library. So the library has a well access for it, and you can get access to your books. And the trick is if you're an avid reader and you need access to them, is to compile a bunch of libraries, and you can actually talk to, if you have internet friends in other states, you can say, hey, can we just like share in library cards? And you will be able to have access to things like a quicker pace than if you're just like relying on just your own library. Libby allows you to have multiple library cards and it'll search automatically which library has the shortest amount of time or if it's the books available for you.
That is really amazing. So step one, look at your local library system, see if there's library sharing within your state, within your counties, see if you can get on with other counties if they have sharing. And the next step is look into non-resident library cards, because the fees are low cost. And again, if you're an avid user and an avid reader, like Laura said, you will get your money back. So I think the library is a great resource. But then we also have Kindle Unlimited as a platform, as a way where people can read lots of books at low to no cost. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a certain amount of books that are available on ebook only, but you won't see them in the library. And that's because they're Amazon exclusive and they're part of the Kindle Unlimited program. So the Kindle Unlimited program works in a way that you pay, you can start, if you don't have Kindle Unlimited, you may get a deal where it's like 99 cents for a couple months, or it will be free for a month or so. And then you'll pay a monthly fee of $11.99, or you may buy an annual subscription for $100. And what it does is you get to buy up to 20 books. Some books are available for read and listen, so they'll have an audio together, so you'll have both options. Or some books are just available for read. Kindle Unlimited, yes, it's mainly romance, but there's cozy mysteries, there's thrillers, there's historical fiction. There's a lot of different things. A lot of traditional published books are actually getting into the Kindle Unlimited program because Kindle Unlimited has become so popular thanks to BookTok, because it's a really easy way to try a book and see if you like it. If you don't like it, then you can just return it. The author does get compensated for borrowing the book, and you just didn't lose money. It's like free book. And so you might find like some traditional published books. I think Finley Donovan is right now in the Kindle Unlimited program. Like some like well-known books or like popular books, you're like, oh my gosh, I did not know it's there, and I can borrow it, I can read it, and I can return it. You won't find every book on the Kindle Unlimited program because it's an Amazon exclusive program, and there's different things that are happening. But you might be surprised of the amount of books there are on the Kindle Unlimited program. Books can leave the Kindle Unlimited program at any time. So, but one trick is if you know the program's going to leave at any time, keep it on your Kindle Unlimited. It will remain there. Even though it's no longer the Kindle Unlimited program, it's still borrow on your Kindle.
Oh, that's good to know. That's really, really good to know. Kindle also has different programs, you know, like Stuff Your Kindle. Tell us about these opportunities for readers to essentially stuff their Kindle.
Yeah, so a lot of times, a lot of authors will put some of their books for free. And there's actually, there's a list in Amazon that tells you where are the free books that are going on. So you'll find series starters or like some books that are like authors are like, you know, I'm proud of this and I want to build new readership, so I'll put a book for free. So there'll be days in the year where they'll have like a bunch of authors will get together and we'll put a website, we'll list hundreds of books and say like, hey, this book is free, you know, and they'll give you kind of like the vibes of like, you know, tropes or specific things. And it'll tell you, you can buy the Kindle Unlimited, you can buy it on Amazon, or you might be able to buy it at Apple or Barnes Noble or Kobo. So you'll have the opportunities. You just buy them. They're free. You don't have to pay for them, but it's just like an opportunity to discover new authors at the same time I try new books to read. There are days for fantasy, because I know romanticy is now like a pretty big genre. So there's a fantasy. It's called Fantasy Dragons Day. There's a cozy mystery one. So if you like cozy mysteries, if you like witchy paranormal books, there's like a day for that. And then there's like a contemporary romance. And I'm assuming as we continue to move to these days, because they're so popular, that we'll see other genres moving on and building their own Stuff Your Kindle Day. That's how they're called, Stuff Your Kindle Day. You can search on TikTok on the algorithm when it's the next Stuff Your Kindle. I'll have a website where I'll link the dates of the upcoming days, so you have that opportunity to be on the lookout, and I'll just add on new days that they come in. But you know, my website will have a good resource for that too.
Yes, and I'll include a link in the show notes so you can find the Stuff Your Kindle Days through Laura's website. We also have Stuff Your Earbuds for audiobooks.
Yeah, so we got to talk about our audiobooks, because audiobooks it's so pricey, and you're like, how am I going to get some audiobooks for free? So libraries are a good place. One library I recommend if you're an audiobook listener that you must have is NOLA. It's New Orleans Public Library. By far is the best audiobook library. They have a great Hoopla selection. They have a great Libby. They purchase every new releases. They have multiple copies. And so if you're an audiobook listener, that's the library you want to go to. There's also like Stuff Your Earbuds Day, which is similar to Stuff Your Kindle Days, where audiobooks will be for free and they'll have them for that available day. That day is coming up for in this year, 2024, it's May 10th and May 11th. So it's a 2-day event. Similar, they'll have a website, you can search, you can download. There are other places where you can get some low cost like audiobook subscriptions. Kobo Plus is one of them. It's like a competitor of Amazon. And so they do have you pay $7.99 for their Kobo Plus system where they have audiobooks for free. Amazon does have like Audible has like Audible exclusive books that you will only find Audible. And so a trick if you have Kindle Limited is you can whisper sync them. And so that means you can buy them for $7.49, $3, $4, $1.99 the book. It's cheaper than a credit. That's if you have Kindle Limited or if you own the ebook. So those books that you might have owned in your stuff, your Kindle day, you might whisper sync and get the audiobook for even cheaper than a credit.
Yeah, because I have to tell you, I love an audiobook. I really, really do. But they can get pricey. So it's good to know that we have these options. You can sync the Kindle book, get a cheaper price on the audiobook. Because I know there are some readers who like to listen, but then would also like to follow along, you know, on their ebook as well. So that's really helpful. Now, I know you shared a whole bunch of resources with listeners today, both to build their physical collection, their electronic collections from ebooks, audiobooks, and beyond. How can readers stay on top of this? Because I know you shared like some email resources with me, like BookBub and Amazon. They're great places to stay in the know.
Yeah, so there's a couple places. Audible, if you want to know Audible deals, you can sign up for their newsletter. You get Audible deals. BookBub is a system where you can follow authors. If you love an author, you want to know what the next deal is, you can check BookBub for it, BookBub.com. There's also a daily deal. It'll tell you what books are free, which one stuff. You can give them like your genres, your known things, and it will give you some deals. Amazon actually does a Kindle deal. Every Sunday, there's like a deal that's going on and it's happening, and it'll tell you like books to read. And it might be like $1.99, $3.99, $4.99. And that includes cookbooks. That includes all their books and stuff like that. So signing up to the Amazon newsletter and just like scrolling, I know they're going to send you a bunch of stuff. So you just like put on your junk mail and just scroll like every Sunday to see what the deals are. If you're looking for audiobooks, there's Chirp, S-C-I-C-H-I-R-P.com. And they sell audiobooks for like $2.99, $3.99, $4.99. Again, it's like an email list. They'll send you, they'll let you know when the book is available for a deal. So those are deals you can do. Stuff your Kindle days. They have newsletters so you can sign up and they'll let you know when the events are happening. So if you want to do like a Kindle deal specifically, you can have that. And you can check, like there's a Kindle ebook deals if your account in Instagram that she does. Her main gig is to find Kindle ebook deals. And so you can check for her site and like check like pictures and she'll highlight some books. And you're like, I did not know this was free. So if you're looking for that, there's people curating those lists for you.
That is awesome. And I know you're curating a list as well because, hey, I like just going to one place to find, okay, when is the next Stuff Your Kindle day? When is the next Stuff Your Earbuds day? I just want to go to one place. So tell me about your page and your resource and how people can find you.
So I'm building a page where I'm giving you all the different lowdowns and different guides of what to use, from library use, Kindle Limited use, from how to save money on your Kindle Limited membership to using the different systems in place. So there will be a guide in my website, but there's also a newsletter where I'll make announcements where like, hey, there's a Stuff Your Kindle Day, FYI, because my goal is to not only for you to read more, but to read at a low cost, because I was poor at one point where I was like, basically, I was like under earning and I needed to, and I was consuming too many books. And I was like, well, my book budget is not as high as I wanted to. And so I consumed like 99 cents books and I was looking for ways to save some money and still enjoy my hobby. And so I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate that you can read at any budget, that it's, there's plenty of resources are available that are free, low cost, that you can get quality books. So I think there's the idea of, like, I have to pay like a lot of money to get the quality system. But the reality is no, like you can get the quality books at a low cost or free cost. You're already paying those resources, library resources, with your tax money. So it's like you're already doing, like you just might as well enjoy those services.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show and speaking with me. This has been fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Reader's Couch podcast. Please subscribe to the show, share it with a friend, and take a few seconds to leave a rating and review. Until next time, stay lounging, stay reading, and whenever you're in doubt, go straight to your local bookstore or library. Thanks again for listening, and happy reading.